podcast Evolve, your home for Halo. I'm your host today, David, and with me is Aaron.
Hi, guys.
And Oren.
Hey, everyone.
Yeah, we have a special episode this week. So this week is our 2021 Halo review episode. So we're going to look back on everything that was released and was Halo related in the last year, which is very exciting. This should be a Christmas episode. Happy Halo. Yes. If you're listening to this,
Merry
Halo Infinite is
Christmas.
Out and it's amazing. So that's so exciting. The ending of that game was mental, Oren, wasn't it? Holy shit.
Oh, it was... I can't wait to talk more about it, but not on this episode.
Not on this episode. No way. Before we get started, some housekeeping. If you're new to the show, welcome. Podcast Evolve is a host to a variety of different Halo-themed shows. Our main show is what you're listening to right now. It has our all original series, our Infinite Impressions, and the Road to Infinite. Road to Dead, Oren. Road is dead.
It is dead. Thank goodness. It was. I enjoyed the road, but I'm thankful that it has come to a close.
Absolutely. And character dossiers. And they're all themed shows around various aspects of Halo. We have other shows on Mission Debrief, Builds of Blocks, the Halo Book Club, and Halo Headlines. You can learn more about each of these shows on our website, halopodcastevolved.com. We also have halopodcast.com, which is very exciting. So go check it out if you'd like to know more. We have a partnership with the beautiful men over at HCS Pro Talk. That's Josh and Will. They discuss the latest information with the competitive Halo scene, with an emphasis on the community every week. So if you're already a fan of the show, we ask you to rate us and leave us a review. We greatly appreciate any and all feedback we get to improve the quality of our show. If you're already, we would like to take this moment to thank all of our patrons for their continued support. Guys, thank you so much. You do work for us. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Our patrons receive a variety of exclusive rewards, such as early episodes, unique swag, access to our own soundtrack featuring 18 songs. It's dope. That's right, our own soundtrack, 18 songs, themed after Halo. It's fucking cool. Head over to patreon.com/HaloPodcastEvolve to learn more. And finally, we encourage our listeners to support Audible. They can enjoy all of the Halo novels. They're all over there for you to listen in one place, along with thousands of others, guided wellness programs, and much more. The URL to do this is audibletrial.com/podcastevolved. You will get a nice free trial from us. Thank you guys so much. And now, into the 2021 Halo review. Aaron, you put together a lovely spreadsheet. Talk me through it, buddy. What we got?
Yes, as is tradition now, we are going to spend the next 6 hours talking about all of the news from the past year, so settle in. Right, I've pulled all the major... It is a big recap, yes. If you're familiar with the concept, this is the clip show. This is where we save having to come up with new stuff. So, I've pulled everything together that's been Halo-related for the year. We start off with a nice and sort of quiet January. We had a little bit of stuff. So, the two things we had in January were Master Chief Collection Season 5 Anvil was revealed, or was released, actually. So, that is the one that took inspiration from the Halo Online armors. People weren't necessarily very happy about the Halo Online armors because they have a lot of opinions about how things look. I remember there being a bit of drama about that because it wouldn't be Halo unless people were upset. More about that later.
So topical.
We also had our very... I know. We also had our very first Inside Infinite. Do you remember the excitement when we got our first Inside Infinite, guys?
Our second one was...
No, this was...
The second one was January. The first one was December of 2020, talking about progression and stuff.
Oh, was it? Oh, then I... Whoever
I think he's
did
right. The sandbox wasn't the first one they released. I remember there was
that. Okay, that's
all
right.
That, yeah.
Then whichever idiot that definitely wasn't me that did the show notes for the live show in January got that wrong. So, okay, we had our second Inside Infinite then. We got, I said it was with the Sandbox team. I had written here we had first a new series of blogs. Oh well, I got that completely wrong. They were talking about their inspirations and motivations for working on the game. The Inside Infinites are worth a read, but they could be a little long and a little sort of too into the weeds occasionally.
I liked how in the early Inside Infinites they had the like accompanied video of like I think it was like Ask 343, and it would be like another 20 or 30 minute video that would accompany the article that came out like a few days later from people who asked questions about that article. So like I remember in the sandbox when they were talking about, you know, the different elements to the game that they were able to share, like the grapple shot and some of the other equipment and things like that, they would take questions from Twitter and things, and then they would expand upon the article. But they stopped doing that, presumably because I guess they're busy trying to launch the game in the second half of the year. But yeah, because I kind of those videos kind of fell off over the summer, I'd say. But I miss those. I like that part of it.
Yeah, it was nice to get that stuff. I suppose it's all well-intentioned when you're not like snowed under trying to finish a game. But those were the major things from January. There wasn't too much of excitement. Then into February, we got a tweet about the Halo TV show. Do you remember that Halo TV show that was first revealed in, like, what, 2013? And has been going nonstop ever since?
2013 when they announced the console. Back in May.
Yeah, and it's just been going ever since. This tweet basically mentioned that the show was still being produced by Showtime and would premiere on Paramount Plus in 2022. And then that made everyone realise they're going to have to go get Paramount Plus. We also had a cannon fodder from Jeff. It was 112 Hot Drops. It was talking about how the next season of Master Chief Collection was going to take inspiration from Fireteam Raven. We were also getting two new maps for Halo 3 in Master Chief Collection. We got Edge and Waterfall. And it announced the reveal of the new novel from Troy Denning, Divine Wind. So that was a pretty packed cannon fodder.
Yeah, that was a good one. I like those armors. I played around with them in Master Chief Collection and kind of liked the ODST flair to kind of give your Spartan.
I personally think more ODST armors are never a bad thing. Like, it's a good look. And whilst I have never had the chance, I know David's the same, to play a Fireteam Raven, someday I hope to. Someone might like find a way to crack it and port it over to something.
If I could ship like it to you, it. I would, but I don't think I can.
That would be ridiculous. But also dope, Oren. Also dope.
Yeah. I'll appreciate it. Like, if you become rich and decide to send it to me, I'll not say no, Oren. That's
if I just decide that to now. Become rich.
Yeah. Let's see, what else did we get? We got another Inside Infinite, so this was bringing Zeta Halo to life. This was the art team. The big takeaways from this were essentially that they were taking inspiration for Infinite from the Pacific Northwest and Silent Cartographer, and the big excitement and reveal was the day-night cycles and how that'll change combat encounters and things like that. Lots of nice artwork in this. People got very excited with the mention of Silent Cartographer as inspiring things. We know a lot more since then, so like I would say very much Pacific Northwest and Silent Cartographer vibes seem pretty accurate.
Yes, I forgot about the day-night cycle. Like, even like the only multiplayer map that takes place at night, there's only one, I think. And all the other like footage that we've seen of the game since this really has all been like daytime. So I forgot that there even was a night cycle until I read the script.
Yeah, what was there? There's two. Is Streets takes place at night, and the one with the
it does, but like
banished Streets, like anti-air cannon.
It's the big team battle map, and I can't remember the name of it because I've only played it like twice, but yeah, Streets I guess is at night, but you don't really, it's not as obvious that it's at night because
no, it's too bright, all the, you know, all the neon stuff.
Yeah, there's not as much lit.
But the big team
it'd be cool if it was darker though.
Is what
If they made it darker, that map would be so cool. I'm just thinking of all the neon lights and stuff.
Oh, I see. Kind of give the ambient light darker. a little bit more prominence.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be cool to see. Our last big thing in February, and Oren, you will be able to tell us some about this. We finally announced our big partnership with HCS ProTalk.
Yes.
That was so a February thing.
This was big. For those of you that weren't around, or I guess don't remember, but like HCS ProTalk is our huge, huge, awesome friends, Will and Josh. They had their own podcast, and they've just hit 200 episodes within the last month or two, I guess 2 or 3 months now, and yet they have a great community over there, and we approached them in the early part of the year, or like even late 2020, and just kind of talked about ways to incorporate the pro scene of Halo into our like ecosystem of content. And the more we kind of talked about it, the more we realized that it's just like these guys just know it, and so that's where we've started doing some partnerships with them, like having them on some of our episodes. We have audio clips that they make for us, and we have the kind of lore legend map legend videos that we give to them. So it's a great partnership, and I can't wait to share what we have planned for 2022 with everybody, but it's great. And if you haven't listened to them, I definitely recommend at least listening to them for their like reactions and opinions on Halo Infinite multiplayer, because they do talk about like news and things in that nature. If you're not completely plugged into the pro scene and with like players and teams and dynamics and strategies and stuff like that, if that all kind of goes over your head, they still have a decent amount of their episodes devoted to the news and opinions and reactions. That's still worth a listen. So shout out to those guys. That was a big moment for us as well, just because we've kind of had small little interviews or co-hosts and stuff from other podcasting communities, but to actually like kind of get in a little bit closer with another community was a first for us, and it's been great. And those guys are just awesome.
All right, moving on from that, we move into March. Now we're starting to get a little bit busier. It's been a weird year with continued lockdowns and stuff, and this next one, actually, as I was reading this, I remembered it again, and it was a weird one. We had a video that IGN put up, which was an interview between Deborah Snyder and Kiki Wolfkill, with no one from IGN there. They were both just on like webcam talking to each other about like women in film. And it's a 35 minute video. It's all right. The two bits of like Halo information we pulled, or the one bit was Kiki said at the time that she was still on location in Budapest working on the TV show. But it was back when everyone was scrambling to like figure out what all they were still doing. It was just this random video of these two people interviewing each other. And like, this is usually where you put like a host that asks the questions, but now we just have the two guests interviewing each other. It was a strange one.
But it was real weird. It was real weird, yeah, to watch. I remember it.
I'd completely forgotten about it until I was redoing the notes and was like, oh yeah, this was a thing. So at least at that stage, back in March, Kiki was still working on the TV show on location, so that was really the stuff we took from it. The next thing was Halo Point of Light came out in March. Very good book.
Love that book.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
The thing I put down here was that Tim Dedabo did the audiobook, because that's how I enjoyed it. It was a very good book, and I don't think I've come across anyone that's had any complaints about that series so far.
Hell no.
Like, no one ever has a bad word to say about the Ryan Forge books. Yep.
No. You know the stuff.
Next up, we had a community update blog called Zeta Zone. And the stuff we take from this is that Master Chief Collection Season 6 was officially called Raven. It also brought the Exchange into Master Chief Collection, which, if you're unfamiliar with it, is a place where you can redeem, you can spend your unspent Season Pass points and get content. It's a mix of new items and stuff from previous seasons, and it rotates out fairly regularly, I believe. So that was the first introduction to that. In the product section, I believe Krista tried the Pringles, and I'm pretty sure Tom bought this shirt. So we had Moa-flavoured Pringles, because I assume these were made for Infinite at some point and then had to be released eventually. And then we had the Have Samoa Burgers t-shirts that Tom bought, and I hate.
Yeah, well done, Tom. But also, no thank you.
It's just the Have Samoa Burgers. It's the pun. It just angers me. Something about it just... Yeah, it really upsets me. I don't know what it is. And Tom was so excited to tell me he bought one. Oh, bad t-shirt. Anyway, we also got the cover art revealed for Halo Divine Wind, and absolutely no one seemed to notice the prelate on the cover.
What do you mean no one?
You mean everyone noticed?
Yeah.
I feel like no one really noticed it properly.
It was like the first thing I saw.
Pretty sure that was the first thing everyone was talking about.
Yeah.
Maybe I just tuned all that conversation out then, but it's a very good cover on that book.
Look at it.
Yeah.
I looked at it. I looked at the brute. That's what I was focused on. Caster. We got another Inside Infinite in March. This one was Audio Evolved. And this was talking about the team's philosophy when it comes to designing audio for Infinite compared to Halo 4 and 5. The audio team have been probably one of the most public teams when it comes to work in Infinite, because they put out an awful lot of videos of them out in the field recording audio stuff and working on stuff. And what did we get? Like, we had videos of them racing like cars up highways and steam tractors and shooting in canyons and all sorts of shit.
These were great videos. They had great stuff on them.
The pug was theirs as well, wasn't it? They recorded the pug audio for something. Creatures of Infinite. So all of their stuff was pretty good. Again, it's quite an in-depth read, but it's worth a go. Also in March, the Xbox and ZeniMax Studios deal was finalized. So this was the beginning of Xbox taking over almost everyone that makes games. If you don't belong to Sony or Nintendo, you now belong to Microsoft.
Yeah, this was the Bethesda really that really made the difference here.
Yeah, it was a big one. So there's bit more about that, I think, later. This is Oren speaking of the follow-up videos for the Inside Infinites. I mentioned this one here specifically, so it was the Ask 343 for the audio team video, and the team were talking about how the music and things will change depending on how a player is tackling a situation. So if you're sniping at, I think the example they had was if you were sniping at elites from a distance versus if you were up in their face with a shotgun, would change how the music would behave for the level. They also confirmed that Jeff Stitzer was returning for multiplayer, because people were a little bit worried that they hadn't heard any mention of that. Also in April, we had mentioned that Halo on PC had hit 10 million players. So that was a pretty big deal. I think since then, Halo on PC, well, since the Infinite multiplayer beta dropped, hit, Halo on PC has gone pretty good at the minute. Next one up here we have is, I put this one in specifically because it was mentioned in April time, but there was a certain Halo TikToker called Spartan052 who became quite popular around then. I've put in that if you follow him or her, I'm not going to make the assumption as to who it is, but if you follow them on TikTok, they're currently attempting to print an entire suit of George's armor before Infinite comes out. So they are 3D printing the entire suit. They have a very nice standard Spartan issue suit of armor at the minute, but they're going for a full George. So I think the last video I'd seen was at 23 days, and they had about 2/3 of a suit of armor. But there's
mental, but fair play, Halo fans.
Yeah, but I love how far like Halo cosplay has come along from like when Krista was contemplating it. It was all about getting card and cutting it into the pieces and assembling it and gluing it and spraying it and fiberglass and painting. And now it's just like, no, we're just going to 3D print everything and assemble it and paint it. Although I have to say, the 3D printed suit of armor does look fucking fantastic. Like, it looks so solid, which is really good. We also, in April, we had our interview with Kelly Gay. She came back to talk to us some more.
Yay! The official podcast of Kelly Gay, I have to say.
Yes, Kelly's lovely. I think we've got on very well with her every time she's been on. Her horse did not succeed in killing her. We ask her this now every time she has an interview.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it attempted it for the first interview, didn't it?
Yeah, then, she was going to cancel because, or I think we had a delay because the horse tried to kill her the first time around. That's what it was.
And then we just check up every time since then. So after her next novel comes out and we get her back on the show, we will once again make sure that the horse has not succeeded. But if you get a chance, go and listen to that interview. It's worth going over. Kelly's a lovely person. God love her. She was nervous about meeting us and talking to us and doing the episode. It's always nice to have a guest that's like excited and nervous about things. What have we got next? Master Chief Collection Custom Browser went live for testing on PC. Oh, the excitement. And we also had another Inside Infinite, and this was PC Infinite. And they were basically mentioning things like there would be crossplay between Xbox, Steam, and PC Game Pass. You could host LANs on a local server. You could host on your PC. Competitive playlists would be restricted by input device. All that exciting PC stuff. I was going to say it doesn't really affect any of us, but I'm pretty sure Krista's just playing Infinite
Krista
on PC.
Krista has joined the PC bandwagon. Yeah, she's been up there.
She's been building it.
Yeah, I think she's going to play Infinite on PC first time around. So, also, I remember from this.
Go ahead, David.
Go on, Arn.
I played some multiplayer with some friends via crossplay. They were playing on PC, and yeah, I felt kind of good that I was able to still hold my own against some of the other keyboard and mouse users on the other team. But yeah, it's the future is now. You know,
future is now.
Yeah, it's been good minus some of the PC cheating, so we'll hopefully get that fixed soon. PC players ruining it for everyone else. Please don't come after me, thank you. Next up we have some May stuff. We had Cannon Fodder 113. It was peak design. It was the first reveal of Blademaster Jega. We had Hyperius and Torvarus. We had stuff, actually, this reminded me that the scrap cannon is a weapon that we haven't seen in multiplayer yet.
Well, the scrap cannon,
I don't even remember what it looks like.
Is like it's like a mountable turret, right?
Yeah, it's a banished turret, something similar, I assume, to the UNSC turret. Except it's more like a chain grenade gun.
Yeah, I think it's something like that.
So it reminded me that that existed. We got our first look at the Razorback. We also got a shout out in the Cannon Fodder for our Kelly Gay interview. So thank you, Jeff. And then because of the way the weeks sort of lay, we also got Cannon Fodder 114 in May, which was Art of War. And that was, we got Master Chief Collection Season 7 Elite Lore. Also the Halo Legacy Collection that Dark Horse were producing. It's a compendium of Halo Uprising, Halo Helljumper, and Halo Bloodline. That was revealed there as well. I think we have pretty much all of the old Halo comics now re-released under Dark Horse. So they were pretty good. We get into June. Oh, someone want to say something?
I was going to. I'm pretty happy those comics are now widely available because they used to be kind of hard to get. So it's a good thing that they're back now.
They got rare and expensive because they were all pretty much only hardback copies, and they were like a hunt on Amazon and spend £40 on a book that cost £20 when it originally came out. So it's nice to have all them now because I don't actually own a copy of, I think I own some of them, not all of them. I own like the original like Marvel collection. But I don't have... I still don't think I have, like, Boot Camp or anything. I only have digital copies that I sourced.
Same. I've got the digital ones on the Dark Horse app.
But it would be nice to finish that collection. Let's see. What else did we get? We're into June. So, in June, we had the Halo E3 presentation for 2021. So, we got a new campaign trailer. We got a multiplayer trailer reveal. And they didn't give us a date for anything. And we were all furious.
It was hype, though.
It was.
Yeah, like, we were all excited. I think, like, the multiplayer did make a very good impression. That's what people were, like, really...
Excited over. But people were also a little disappointed that there wasn't like in-depth conversation that was going on. It was just kind of just a trailer, and then 343 then started releasing more videos during the week, because that happened on what, like a Monday or a Sunday, the presentation. So they wanted to talk all about it.
Yeah, it was
in their own time and not on that quote unquote stage.
Yeah, that E3 presentation was sort of a bit tight and trimmed down in some ways, and then a bit weird in other ways, because they spent like 12 minutes on Forza Horizon. So it was strange. We got the Halo Infinite multiplayer reveal blog, and that introduced us to a couple of things. We saw the threat sensor, the repulsor. We got some information on the Academy, big team battle, 120 FPS in Series X. We were told there would be split screen multiplayer, and we had the announcement for the technical previews. So they were revealed there. We also had Cannon Fodder 115, which was showcase sensitive. And this was our introduction to the Academy and Commander Agrina. We had lore on some weapons, maps, and armor. So we had all that. They also released a 100-page cosplay guide for the Mark 7 armor. We didn't specifically cover that. Yeah, we didn't cover it on the podcast because we only mentioned it in passing, but it is a full 100-page file you can download and go through and get some really up-close detailed images of the full armor, the undersuit, the whole lot. So I imagine if you were the sort of person that was making cosplay, this was like Christmas. Also in June, we had another interview, so we had Tim Dedabo on. He was also fantastic. Something very weird about having Guilty Spark on your podcast. Krista was mildly excited.
This was, like, I wasn't on this show, but, like, this was such an awesome episode to listen to. I had such a good time listening to it. Like, knowing it was happening, but then, like, not knowing anything really else about it, and then putting the show on, and just being like, oh, this is so good. Like, he was such a good guest. It was really cool. You guys did a great job on it as well.
He had a lot to say, and it was fantastic to get the chance to talk to him. Let's see, what have we got next? We had Master Chief Season 7 Elite trailer. I only specifically wanted to mention this because this was the one with the really questionable voice acting. Does anyone remember this one?
I remember you guys giving out about it. I don't remember specifically what was bad about it, to be honest.
It's supposed to be a human and elite on a joint Banshee mission out of Anvil Station, and they're talking, but the elite sounds awful, awful, awful.
I don't think I saw that. I don't remember this.
Oh, it's a very short trailer. I don't think there's much in the way of actual, like, there's no real graphics to it. There's images and stuff, but it's just this audio, but just not great at all. But thankfully, we don't have to remember it ever again, so it'll be fine. We also had the Inside Infinite for June, where the team talked about the four pillars of the live service. They mentioned the seasons being quarterly. They talked about the app integration for Infinite going forward, and they mentioned the Fractures events. So that was our first mention of those. We also had Cannon Fodder issue 116, which was Parallel Threads. And this announced Kelly Gay's next book, which is The Rubicon Protocol, and also gave Divine Wind a release date of October. So that book, I believe, did we just hear that The Rubicon Protocol has been delayed again?
Yeah.
I think it's delayed to June.
So June next year, so it will be long after the campaign is finished, which kind of makes sense because
the book itself is supposed to be April.
Yeah, the book itself takes place before we will play the campaign in Infinite and possibly into it as well. It's the events like leading up to that stage, so it would probably have a few things in it that may be spoiler-esque. And I think we also got mentioned that like some of the audio logs may tie into it as well. So that's pushed back anyway. The other thing we had was we had some news now, Oren, you settled everyone on this because the internet got a bit excited for 5 minutes, that the Halo showrunner for the new TV show announced they were leaving at the end of season one. They put out a statement which basically said they've been stuck working on the show in Budapest for 2 years. They wanted to go back home for personal reasons, so they'd be stepping down after season one. A lot of people on the internet were just immediately of the assumption that the TV show is doomed, the showrunner's running, all the rest of it. But I can understand if you spent 2 years over lockdown working on a season of a TV show in another country, you might want to go home again.
Yeah, I don't think so there's really any reason to worry. The biggest thing for this is that whenever a showrunner leaves a TV show, you have a different creative kind of like team and brainchild behind the direction of the show. So I don't think we have any reason to worry that, like, oh, because of this, the show's going to be worse, or because of this, the show's going to not be as good for season two. Well, I guess that could be a thing, because, like, I mean, if you were to watch, I don't know, what's the show you want, The Expanse? Like, if The Expanse had a showrunner change between two of the seasons, like, it's just going to be a different, it's going to just go in a different direction than it would have if it had the same showrunner. But, you know, all the actors would still be the same, and, you know, it's not as big of a deal as people are making it out to be. If he was leaving in the middle of the project, then there could be a little bit more of a conversation about how it would impact the quality of the show. You know, you look at, like, Justice League, how Zack Snyder had to step down in the middle of that, and then a lot of people wanted the Snyder Cut, and there's that whole dialogue that I don't really follow, but there you know, there could be parallels there. But he's seeing it through till the end. It's coming out in a couple months, and, you know, if there's a season two, then someone else will get a crack at the overall direction, so. It's fine.
Oren says it's fine, everybody. It's fine.
Yep, that's pretty much all I have to say. And if Oren says it's good, it's good. Moving into July then, so we got another Inside Infinite. This one was all about the technical previews, basically just talking about 343's goals and aims for it. We got Cannon Fodder 117, Masterclass. The Halo Encyclopedia was announced for next year. It's a 500-page book, $50. We got a detailed breakdown of all things Master Chief, including community contributions such as ours. We recorded an episode on our favorite Master Chief bits. So,
do you guys remember where you were when Jeff asked us to do this?
I remember the furious chat. I don't remember where I was. I don't know where I was, but I remember the chat.
So I was, or Aaron, do you know where you were?
I do not remember where I was yesterday, Oren, so there is no chance.
So I was driving in the middle of Manhattan, and I have my phone propped up on one of those, like, air conditioning holder things, because it has my maps, so I can navigate the terrible roadways that is Manhattan. And I saw the Twitter notification that Jeff Easterling sent us a message. And I, like, on my phone, you could just read, like, the first two lines. And it said something like, "Hey, Cannon Fodder 117's coming up, and we would like you to," and it, like, cut off. Or, you know, something like that. And I, like, immediately pulled over and, like, checked it and then, like, shared it in the group. And I think Krista also got the notification and saw it live, so to speak, as well, because she was also like, guys, this is not a drill. and then, you know, the chat was just furious. And then we, you know, looked into it and, you know, read that Howie wants us to be included in the celebration. And it was just, oh, man, it was awesome. What a good day that was.
Yeah, man, all that money we gave to Jeff, totally worth it. Like, totally, totally worth it.
Yeah, if you get a chance, go and look at that cannon fodder, because it has linked through to all the different community things that were involved. A lot of podcasts and YouTubers did stuff for it, so it's worth having a look. Also in July, we got a warning that Jeff Staten confirmed, or Joseph Staten... Also in July, we got a warning from Joseph Staten confirming that Halo Infinite campaign spoilers had leaked, and that was after files were discovered in the technical preview. I think it had the names of campaign missions and stuff. So we were immediately on the lookout from July on. No one could be safe ever. This next one, David can tell us a little about this. The Popart Needler-inspired Xbox controller was put up for pre-order. David immediately bought one.
No, it was a very difficult time in my life where I was peer pressured live on our Discord into doing it in our Discord show.
Excuse me, but, sir.
I think
the audio of that is there. There was no peer pressure involved. You broke.
No, it was pressure.
You looked at the photos and then you snapped.
I got it. I'm holding it right now. It's a nice controller. I'm going to put up some pictures, I think, and do like a blog thing. But it is nice. It is pretty nice. It's not exactly, I think, what I was thinking. I don't really know what I was thinking. But it does look exactly what they posted up anyway. It's a cool design. It's very Needler-esque. It's got some cool colors. It's a new edition kind of controller. It's got a textured grip. It's pretty slick. It's a unique controller for sure. I didn't realize that company does so many things. So when I went onto their website, they have so many designs. And a lot of stuff by Popart. I didn't realize. I thought this was like a one-off thing. But there's loads of stuff on there that do. It took a while to come, but it did come. So when did I order it? July? I got it 2 weeks ago. That's pretty funny. But it got here. It did the job.
Wow, just a little bit of a wait then.
Yeah, like, I remember at the time I was really excited for it. Because I'm like, oh yeah, I needed a new Halo controller. Because I've been using the old Master Chief one that was launched with Halo 5, and that's been my secondary controller for a while now. I've been using my Series X one, because a lot of the kind of bumpers and stuff are broken, and it's kind of worn. So, like, yeah, I was due another new Halo controller, so I was pretty excited. And, you know, then the inevitable happens. It's probably later on, so we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we will bring it up as we go along. Other things that happened in July, Battle Royale announcer audio was found by data miners in the technical preview files. That got people very excited, but nothing else has come of it. We also had Steve Downes voicing the Waze GPS app. That was another random thing. We've had a couple of things since then, because I think they've had... Did they have Atriox in it as well? Or Escherim or something? They've had a few more since then. But anyway, going on from that into August, we had Gamescom. So we finally got a release date for Infinite. No, we were told there's no campaign co-op at launch. That would be coming in Season 2. Forge would be coming in Season 3. We also had the reveal of the Infinite Series X and the Infinite Elite controller. And we were told that we had the multiplayer Season 1 cinematic reveal. So all of this happened. There was immediately a scattering session in the chat for the podcast as we went rampant and started to buy things. I bought the Elite controller that night. David?
Yeah, me too. This was very exciting. Like, the Gamescom was really very exciting that whole period of time. All the reveals. Xbox definitely came out on top, I felt. They did a really good job. I think Tom and Colin got the Xbox.
They did. Did Krista get it as well?
I don't think she got the Xbox, no.
No. Yeah, no, they got the Xbox, and then Colin, me, you got the Elite controller as well.
Yeah, it's my first Elite. It's beautiful. It's so good. Sorry, go on, Aaron.
I may buy an Elite controller I was playing Halo today.
Oh.
And I was like, I need some more. I need those paddles. Like, I think I might do it. I don't know. Maybe I should ask for it.
The paddles are really good, Oren.
I know. And I didn't really want to succumb to it because I there's no going back. There's no going back.
There isn't. Once you ruin yourself with an Elite controller, nothing else will do.
You train your brain one way, you can't untrain it.
Yep.
Bro, it took me so long to change controller scenes, like settings when Halo 4 came out. Yeah, anyway.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. Halo 4 broke my brain a good bit.
Do it. Buy an Elite controller. Join us.
Did you want to talk about that video you made, or is that later?
I actually didn't have it in the notes, so we can talk about it now. I did my very first YouTube video.
Yay!
I did a review of the Infinite Elite controller. Colin bullied me into making one, so I did. Shout out to Colin for doing the photographs and the video stuff. And shout outs to Matt for assembling everything. But yep, that was my first YouTube video. I've never gone back to look at it because I'm afraid to read the comments. So it's out there.
It's a good video, man. You did good work. It's good.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. But I also know that YouTube's a hellscape of horribleness. So I'm not going to look. I put the video out there and it's gone and it's good. Let's see, what else did we get? The graphic novel re-release by Dark Horse also came out in August, so that was another one. And we had another Inside Infinite in August, which was the technical preview review. Joe Staten also had to respond to the criticism about the lack of campaign details at Gamescom. Said the studio were basically in shutdown mode now in the game, and they were working on polishing and finishing things off, and the details would come soon. And then we move into September. We had Cannon Fodder, issue 118, Myths and Mysteries, some explanation on what fractured content is for both Infinite and Master Chief Collection, background information on the Infinite multiplayer cinematic. So we got details on who Agrina is. We got Master Chief Collection development update as well. That was Season 8 announced. They also said that this would be the last season for Master Chief Collection, and the team would be pivoting to smaller updates that they could drop more frequently as they're ready. So that happened. We had another Inside Infinite, and this one was a look into the design philosophy of Infinite's multiplayer and progression system, and also dived into the goals for the second Halo Infinite multiplayer flight. Or technical preview or whatever it was called. We also had the art of Halo Infinite, and this was because 343 accidentally left a load of concept art pieces in the technical preview. So rather than delay the game and try to remove them, they just officially released them. There are, I believe, 69 pieces of concept art, or 67, that you can go and download off Waypoint, so you can just pull the whole folder and look through them all. Some very nice looking pieces of art in among all that. The concept art is also going to be featured in the Art of Halo Infinite book as well that we're getting from Dark Horse. So you can go and look at that. And then we had Cannon Fodder 119, which was Preview Purview. And that was more Infinite lore on vehicles, weapons. We got information on Fragmentation and Behemoth, and it was a celebration of Cannon Fodder's 7th anniversary. Into October, Divine Wind came out. Another very good book. I think we all enjoyed that. The book club just came out there a couple of weeks ago. You can go and have a listen. We had Master Chief Collection Season 8, which was Mythic. That launched. I think that went down pretty well as well. We got an announcement for Waypoint version next, which is a new redesign of the website. They are dropping support for some older titles and things in Halo 5 and Halo Wars 2. There are new phone apps available that will let you do things like customize your Spartan and look at your Battle Pass progression, things like that. Halo 5 turned 6 in October. We also had the announcement that the Halo Xbox 360 services were going to be sunset next year. I think that's been pushed back slightly because the post I had said January, but I have a feeling they've pushed it back a bit further. double check that as well. But if you have any outstanding multiplayer achievements in the 360 versions of Halo games, get on that, because once the servers go down, you're never going to be able to get them again. We also had Cannon Fodder issue 120, which was Zeta testing, and we finally got a campaign video. Grim also confirmed the Harbinger was definitely not a prelate. The Banished Rise video also
I'm glad they
released.
Put that out straight away. That, like, they said straight away, no, it's not this thing. Because normally they don't do that. Normally they leave us to speculate.
I think they clearly didn't want us to speculate too hard after Divine Wind just came out, in case we were all completely off on the wrong path like I was. I was so hyped and into this whole, it's a prelate and it's going to be all sorts of crazy shit. And like, no, no, calm yourselves a bit. So at least I appreciate them coming out and saying that. But that would just make it a little harder to deny certain things later in the year when 343 would not come out and deny certain rumours. So we will get to that in a bit. Let's see, what else did we get? Oh yes, 343 released Halo Sacrifice digitally. And if you don't remember, Halo Sacrifice was the short story little additional extra that came out for the Walmart edition of...
Yeah, Walmart of Oblivion, I think. No, Oblivion. Not Oblivion. Was it Oblivion? What was Troy Denning's one before this? Shadows of Reach.
Shadows of Reach, yes. So, yes, there was a Walmart exclusive version of Shadows of Reach, and then you got this little story in the back. And it directly ties into the events of Divine Wind, so worth reading if you get a chance. Halopedia also created a Halo Waypoint archive so they could store all of the parts of Halo Waypoint that were being taken down in the redesign. And finally, we got another Inside Infinite for October, and that was focused mainly on the UI and UX design. And it was very dry reading, unless you're into that sort of thing, I assume. Next up, November, Waypoint version next launched officially. So you have access to the app, and if you go now to the website, it's all sexy and new. We had Master Chief Collection 20... Or we had the Halo 20th Anniversary, and we got content in the Master Chief Collection. I've confused myself a little there. So we got some in-game items that you could equip in it. We also had Cannon Fodder 121, which was Anniversary Armory, and that was a brief history of the content we got for Master Chief Collection, which was, we got some history on the Spartan 2 and Spartan 3 programs. We got lore on the SPI armor, which is what influenced the Mirage armor that was added to Master Chief Collection. And we also got information on the Orion armor. So those are the two sets. We got the Mirage armor and the Orion armor, which I think SPI is something people have sort of like talked about for years, that maybe we would get some SPI armor in a game at some point. So we finally do. You can go and equip those. The Orion armor looks kind of funky.
Yeah, it's old.
I like it.
It's old stuff. But
yeah.
It's okay.
It's cool stuff, though. We also had three videos for the UNSC archive. These were Unspoken, Project Magnus, and Lightbringers. I had assumed we were going to get some more, but we didn't. Unspoken is quite a touching video of a soldier recording a video for his fallen squadmate. He's telling the squadmate's parents about his final act and what happened. Project Magnus, which is probably my favourite of the three videos, is the charting the like development process for the grapple shot from the woman that created it. And Lightbringers was some men singing in a hole.
Yep, nailed it.
We also had the Halo Infinite multiplayer beta, which launched on November 15th. And this was the rumour that we had heard that absolutely no one believed. And then it happened and we were all like, fuck.
Ah, bastards, yeah. They kind of screwed up my November, I won't lie to you. I've complained about it enough shows, no, I won't say it again. Orin's with me, though. They messed up our
November. I literally sat down today and this was like, I kind of want to play Diablo 2. But Halo is out. Like, I could play Halo. And like, it's so unfair to Diablo 2 Resurrected.
Jerks. I'm in the same mode now where, like, I was looking at my Xbox going, Matt, I want to play a game, but there's no point starting anything because Halo's out so soon. So I'm like, oh man, what's the point? But I have to say the November 15 kind of launch thing turned out was really well done. I really liked it. It was nice and quick, nice and succinct. I think it was only half an hour. Lots of good stuff kind of revealed, and like the launch of the beta was like, that's pretty hype. It's pretty dope. And like the whole internet was like, oh my god, this is fucking brilliant. And Halo multiplayer is so strong that it's kind of great to see such positive vibes out there. Now, I still don't have a fucking clue what a battle pass is, and I'm still very confused with all the shit that's going on. But it's still good, right? It's still good. People still happy.
Yeah, mostly people are happy. People are not happy in certain places, but we're not going to talk about that for now. Okay, the next thing we had after the beta came out, we had challenge updates for Infinite. So we've had a few more since then, so these are actually slightly out of date. So what they did originally was they changed the daily challenges to repeat indefinitely, and they were worth 50 XP. So every time you played a match, you would get a minimum of 50 XP towards the season pass. And they also changed the XP boost to be worth 1 hour now instead of 30 minutes, because they are timed from the moment you activate them. Since then, they have changed it now to a system where I believe your first match is now worth like 300 XP, and then the next couple are worth 200, and then 100, and then it goes down to 50 after that. So it's actually quite a sizable reward since then, but they have been making tweaks to the game as they go along with feedback. We also got a Waypoint blog where various Halo developers shared their thoughts on 20 years of Halo. Worth a read if you get a moment to just go through it. Halo Infinite also went gold in November. So another big milestone.
It had bloody want to have gone gold.
Yes, considering it's out in 3 days from the time of recording this, it would need to be very close to being ready. IGN also put out a good campaign preview. It was part of their IGN First series. Reading this one in particular got me excited and hyped for Infinite, because it was Miranda Sanchez did the preview for it, and she basically said that most of our concerns about Master Chief's long-awaited spiritual reboot melted away after a 4-hour hands-on. And then they went into more detail and talked about it all, and how Chief's developed as a character and things like that. But like, they were pretty positive about it, which the Unlocked guys can be a bit critical sometimes. So for them to be like pretty won over like that was impressive and got me fully on board and excited for D-Day. The other thing that happened in November was the Tenrai Fracture event went live. So we got some interesting lore on the Tenrai event for the universe. We got the dates for the 6 weeks that the events will be active. We got a look at the unlock path, which is might need a little work on it. And we had criticisms from the community about the way the event was set up and the way the lockdown, the unlocking works for it. Now, I have some criticisms of my own as well, but I do specifically remember saying on the last show we recorded to people, please don't be assholes. And unfortunately, many people have been assholes.
They don't.
Once again, no, they probably don't. I'd like to hope none of our listeners are assholes, but please don't be an asshole. It's just a game. I know it's a very important game to a lot of people, but no one should be doxxed or have death threats ever over a game. Cannot stress that enough. If you considered sending a threat to anyone, please don't. Please go and have a cup of tea instead and think about your life choices. But
well said.
Overall, what did we think about the Tenrai stuff? I think I got the armor unlocked, so I got to like whatever that was, level 5 of the 30.
Yeah.
But I didn't do much more with it.
I did all 7 challenges, so I'm level 7. I mean, I think they should definitely make it to where there's a way for someone, for a player to grind it out if they want to. And so it's just more challenging. But like also they just need more stuff in the pass. Like you basically get you get the default armor when you unlock the thing, and then you, I'd have to look at it again, but like I think you only get like one extra set of armor towards the, by the end of the pass, but it's going to take you 5 months just to complete it. So it's just,
yeah. And some of the stuff is available, I think, as well, only for purchase through the store. So they were like, there are accessories for this armor that you could only buy with real money, and you're going
that like too. There's like four other sets of armor and other accessories and things, and it's all locked behind the store. Like, and this is kind of getting into the battle pass as a whole, but like the way the unlock is, the unlocking progression is right now, is that you have to basically grind to the end of the battle pass to then have enough customization to just play around with anything. Like, there needs to be either more things unlocked sooner, more things unlocked in different ways, or just different avenues to, like, get things. It's just, like, otherwise it's going to be two seasons by the time we get enough customization pieces to kind of have enough to mix and match and truly make unique Spartans.
Yeah, I do think there are some things they can do to sort it out. One of my bigger gripes was the fact that the challenges for the event are mixed in among the standard challenges, so they're not even their own separate track that you can work on. You're having to work through your standard challenges to get to the Tenrai challenges to clear them to make progress in the separate pass. So there are things they could do, but we'll ask them constructively to do it, and we won't shout at them or threaten them. So that's just the important thing to take away from it. But overall, I don't think it was unsuccessful, but I do think they need to have a little look at some of their event stuff, and they may possibly need to have a look at some of their prices in the store, because some of the items they're selling for 1,000 coins are not worth 1,000 coins.
No.
Yeah, man, there's some saucy pricing in there for sure.
Yeah, such as today where they're selling pineapple grenades for essentially like 15 quid because they're 1,000 coins. And that's too high for one accessory item. So we'll hopefully see some more updates after Christmas, because really I think once the studio gets campaign out, they're more than entitled to a break. So they should just go and relax for a while. In December here we have Ian posted that he has written a Halo Infinite in 2030 prediction article. We will link to this in the show notes, but you can go and read that. I believe he posted it on our Halo before the shutdown, and people were not happy with him. So please don't be angry at Ian because he had thoughts on Halo. Also, you can't be angry at Ian on our Halo at the minute because it's in full lockdown. So if you get a chance, go and have a look at that. Are we up to date?
So aside from Halo Infinite launching on the 8th, 343 did say that they're going to do some like playlist updates before the end of the year. So like that's also coming in December. I also have my own article I posted about the progression that comes out on the 6th. So you can read that on our website. But I think December is going to be pretty light with the game coming out.
Yeah, I'd say we'll have a bit more information. What normally happens is normally there's not a lot happening around Christmas, and that stuff will make its way into our January news, but we're going to have quite a busy Christmas this year, so we'll probably have a fair little bit to talk about. But that is essentially our Halo year in review. What did everyone think of 2021 as a year of Halo?
It was a good year.
It was okay.
Oh, really?
I thought it was okay.
You think it was only okay?
Yeah, but only because like I'm comparing it to like Halo 5's launch and the insane levels of hype train and marketing that went into that, to like this year leading up to like a new Halo game that's open world, just didn't feel like that. It felt like it almost should have been a bigger deal, and like the Halo in this year was kind of just dripped and drabbed out to us. It was kind of weird. I think it was a weird year.
I kind of like that, though. Like, I think 2020 definitely had, like, a kick in the gut, if you will, because it got delayed. The game got delayed. But then since, you know, December of last year, they've kind of just been drip-feeding us this content. So then we've been getting edged along throughout the year. And I think in that regard, I think it was a positive year. But yeah, I mean, the Halo 5, like, 2015 was a huge Halo year. Like, with all the books and everything that came out. But, like, I think with the game, with the hype, like, we finally get to see more of it. We get to see the improvements since the first showcase in July of 2020. And the other, like, the two novels that came out, Divine Wind and, Point of Light. Like, I think it was a great year. I think, you know, yeah, there's other best years, but I think it was a good year. Plus, it's the 20th anniversary of Halo as well. Like, you had all that. Like, definitely the last couple of months, I feel like, have been really strong.
Yeah, it's been good. So. It's definitely been good Q4. I'll give you that for sure.
Yeah, no, getting the Elite controller probably made it pretty high on my list of being a good year this year. That was reason enough for me to be happy about it. It's not been a bad year. It's been a weird year. Like, it's been like last year.
I think it's above average. I think,
yeah,
a
good way to put it. I think
above average good year.
Considering for a lot of this year, 343 have still been working from home and COVID's still been a thing and life's been weird. Like, I think they've done all right. I would love more PR and stuff, but sure, we'll just take what we get and see what happens. But no, I don't think I'm disappointed with this year. So I think that's probably about all. Guys, will we move on from this to listener feedback?
Yes, let's get to it.
All right, so we asked the community for some feedback, and I have a selection from Facebook and Discord. So about people's thoughts on Halo this year. So first one up here we have is Dave McLaughlin from Facebook, and he said two words, Kelly Gay. Two more words, Tim Dedabo. So,
good post.
Those are, if you had to pick four words.
Kelly Gay, Tim Dedabo. Yeah, they're pretty good words. Who wants to take the next one?
And we interviewed both of them.
We did.
Great. I'll take the next one. We have DeSudo on our Discord. He says, the train just kept rolling. The Become videos have been wonderful. I think he actually means the, are they called Become?
Yeah, that's mostly, that's what they say.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Sorry.
Become John, Become the Spartan.
Well, no, they're is it not the UNSC archive videos?
There's a bunch of them, but they do end with Become to Become kind of stuff. I know what he's talking about.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. The Become videos have been wonderful. I've been using Audible this year and revisited 90% of those books. It's been a real treat. Loved Divine Wind. Can't wait for Troy's next novel, and I hope it's a love story. All aboard the hype train. Choo, choo, choo.
Well said. I will take the next one. Lucas from Facebook said, last time I was this excited for a Halo game was Halo Reach. 343 has done an amazing job trying to merge the Bungie era games with the 343 era games to give us essentially the best of both worlds in Halo Infinite. And it's the perfect time to launch a new Halo game, with both Battlefield 2042 and Call of Duty Vanguard having very underwhelming and disappointing launches. It can be rightfully reclaim its throne as the shooter king. Combine that with three novels that have knocked it out of the park, I'd say it's been a really good year for Halo. Yeah, he's not wrong. Lucas is not wrong. Now is the time for Halo, and I think the multiplayer launch just kind of like kicking the shit out of, like, you know, Call of Duty and Battlefield and like the big ones out there in terms of like positive media. I'm sure Call of Duty is still better numbers, but you know, it's pretty cool. It's a good time. Orange, you want to take the next one?
Yeah. So we have Matt from our Discord. He says, game nights were some of the best nights of the year, bar none. I'm glad he thinks so. I would love to make it to these game nights. Hopefully, once the game officially comes out, I'll be able to devote some time to these awesome game nights I keep hearing about.
I should too.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you, Matt. And thanks for keeping that alive, you guys who are doing that.
You and shout out to Shadow. Yeah. Shadow XO.
Alexander Rodriguez through Facebook says, Halo literally had a game where someone tried to bring a warthog into a hallway in a match So I'd say everyone's pretty happy about it. My biggest thing about it is the music. It's similar to old Halo and reminds me of Halo 4's title music. Ethereal and old at the same time, and I'm totally here for it. I have not been paying attention to the Infinite music at all, to be honest.
I just let the menu music just play.
Okay, yeah, like, you're right. I'll be that
like
is, yeah.
folding laundry yeah. or doing something like, oh, it's so good. The post rock like drum kits and then the chanting. Oh, dude, music is so good. I should actually just look to see if the soundtrack is if those pieces are available. But like, oh my gosh, like
they normally put it out around lunchtime. But yeah, I definitely need to pay more attention to it. You're right though. I remember the menu. It's one of the first things I remember when I booted it up, getting like super hype and being like, oh yeah, this is some good fucking music.
Very much so. All right, so Nacho Batman, he is quite a lengthy.
You can split these response. Up, all right, if you want. We'll take.
Yeah. So yeah, we're gonna split them up. And I think we'll talk about these three different ones separately. So first, he says the in-game events, solid. I loved the final season of Master Chief Collection with the crazy looking skins. Halo Infinite multiplayer's surprise drop, amazing. No one saw this happening, and that is true. I did not believe it when I saw the rumors. You can look at our chat. I was very firmly saying, no, the community is terrible for hyping everything up. Just save the date, guys. But I was wrong, and it's good, and I've been enjoying it.
Yeah, for sure. Never saw it. I'm glad I never got into the whole seasons of MCC. Like, I never paid attention to any of that stuff. I'm glad that it was good, though. People seem to like it, though. It seems to be a good system.
I enjoyed it. I definitely enjoyed it.
Okay, next one from Natural Batman. Marketing. While I've enjoyed the little live-action video logs we get with some lore leading up to Infinite, we've seen Halo do more in the past. It's pretty much what I was saying earlier. So these have felt unfulfilling. The times 2 bonuses provided in store-bought snacks has been a freaking nightmare. The only company that handled this effectively has been Rockstar. With Rockstar, you get a code on the tab of the can to enter, which is how it should be. With Kellogg's products, Pringles, Pop-Tarts, Cheez-It, Hot Pocket. Oh my god, Kellogg's make all those things? Crazy.
Yeah.
They want a picture of your receipt. Why? This is so stupid. It takes them days to email your code. It's a horrible system and annoying. They get a dang 2XP code. TLDR. Good job, Rockstar. That's just hilarious. In our side of the world, let's say, well, Ireland specifically, I'm not sure if it's as big in the UK, we do not get like all these snack-based productions. Half these products we might not even have here, or they're made by different companies under different names. So, like, we just don't see, like, the kind of stuff that you get in America. So we miss out on a lot of this. But, Oren, have you tried any of this stuff? I know Kristen, we're keeping...
I participated in the Monster Energy drinks because I was able to kind of buy lunches and stuff at different places that also had Monster Energy drinks, and so I could get it like reimbursed for work lunch and stuff. I have like 45
Holy
XP
shit.
Bonus code, or like XPs, because I bought a good amount of Monster.
Do you have all these uploaded into Halo Infinite now?
Yeah. So and so now that they increased the times to duration from 30 minutes to an hour, I effectively have like 40 hours, 40 plus hours of double XP,
mental,
which is pretty great. And with the other changes that they've made to the system, it's basically like my first matches of whatever day I'm playing, I'll pop an XP, because that's, you know, you get 300 for your first match, 200 for your second and third, and, you know, so on and so forth. So I could probably squeeze like 4 to 6 matches out in an hour, and so I'll pop the XP there. But anyway, regardless of that, I do agree, the whole taking a picture of your receipt for the Monster Energy drink was just stupid. And
did you have to do that for Monster?
Like, yeah, I did. Oh my God. Mention Monster in here, but I had to do it for Monster.
So you did 40 pictures of 40 receipts that are on your phone right now?
No. It was like, the way Monster Energy worked is that the amount of money, like the physical dollar amount that you spent, translated into points. And then once you reached a point threshold, you could then redeem times 2 boosts.
Oh my god.
And so, like, the way to maximize your gains was to get, like, 5,000 points, which equates to, I don't know, like, $10 of monster energy or whatever. And then once you get your 5,000 points, then you redeem those for, like, 15 XP boosts. Times 2 XP tokens. And then that's one code you put in, and you get your 25. And then if you keep doing that, then you keep getting your 25, then your 50, and all that kind of stuff. So that's why you got to take a picture of a receipt, because it was based off of the actual amount of money you physically spent.
That's ridiculous.
As opposed to with Rockstar, you just take the top off, type in the code, and then bam, you're done.
Better. Much better.
So,
Jesus.
Anyway. So lastly, from Nacho Batman, the multiplayer itself. I'm having more fun than I've ever had in a Halo game since Reach. My friends are playing with me too now. They have dabbled in MCC and 5, but never to this degree. The XP system is kind of annoying, but it is still early, and they clearly don't want us to burn through everything right now, which is understandable. They need to keep us coming back, and I think they're finally making healthy steps into fixing progression. Can't wait for the campaign. Yeah, they know that the challenge system needs to be tweaked. It's not the greatest. They need to build on it and refine it to really make it more a more healthy gaming experience. So, agreed.
Patrick says, good books this year. Nice and simple. I agree. Two bangers.
That is a good one. This is very flattering. So I hope I'm saying your name correctly, but I'm going to say Sahi.
Siri.
On Facebook, they say that they need more Orin in podcasts. And I am flattered that, yes, I'm not in all of them. I am very busy. But I feel like I make a good amount of them, though.
You do. Oh, no, that Ian guy, that slacker.
Now, Ian has no podcasts. He has maybe 4 total. Yeah. But anyway, well, thank you for the feedback. I always try to make it on. I mean, I joined because I love talking about Halo. So the more I get to talk about Halo, the better, in my
opinion. Yeah, and the key is obviously to get Orin fired so he doesn't have a job. No job, Orin, is the best for podcasts. That's what you want.
You know?
Like I always say.
Yeah.
You're making those movies.
That's you. You have been saying that for actual years.
Yeah. Rico Whittaker.
That is true.
That's a cool name. Rare that a game 20 years in existence is bringing together generations of gamers. My nephew will play Halo Infinite the same age as I first played Combat Evolved. Mental. That's crazy. My brothers who own a PS5 want to spend Christmas Day on Halo multiplayer. This is massive. That's pretty cool. I agree that the Halo hype awesome. And the Halo name is getting out there in a big way. And I think PCs are going to be a huge thing for that too this year. Because already I think their numbers are crazy on Steam.
They like, it was huge that those first like 24 and 48 hours. Yeah. So, jumping back to Nacho Batman, he mentioned it as well. Like, some of his friends that dabbled in MCC and 5 are coming into playing Infinite. Like back in the Halo 5 heydays, I would have, 30, 40 Xbox friends online, and like at least half of them would be playing Halo. And now, with Infinite now out, like, that's how it is now. It's like, I'm constantly playing with a different group of people. Like, I play with a different group of people today that I didn't play with in the last 2 weeks since the game's come out. So, it's awesome how much people are getting pulled together and experiencing this game together.
Yeah, it's pretty dope. I'm pretty happy that. So. I mean, and it's weird as well to see, like, a Halo game with a staggered release like this. It's like, here's the multiplayer first. And that's just been like probably the best piece of marketing they've done for this game. Has just been giving the multiplayer to people. And obviously the multiplayer person isn't always the same as the campaign person, but I think Halo is unique in like the first person sphere in terms of like the campaign is probably as important to a lot of people as the multiplayer, even if you spend more time in the multiplayer. But I think Halo is known for its story, for its campaign, as opposed to like Battlefield and Call of Duty not being there at the same level. But it's pretty dope. I mean, it's pretty hyping. That's all our listener feedback anyway. But thanks very much, guys, for all of that. It makes the show.
Yes, thank you, guys.
And I think, Oren, that's going to be us. We did lose Aaron due to some power stuffs. So I'm literally just going to wrap the show here. I don't think there's anything else you want to add, Oren, is it? In terms of...
The only thing I want to add is, if you're a longtime listener, you would know that our Halo Year in Review episodes usually have our next year Halo predictions for the next year. So we do have some predictions for 2022, but we feel that it would be better to do the predictions after we've actually played Halo Infinite. And since, because of how we're doing our coverage of Infinite, we're recording this episode before it comes out, because we are going to be doing so much. So our predictions for Halo, or for 2022, will be released during our January news episode at the end of January. That will give us some time to review the predictions that we have based off of the contents of Halo Infinite's campaign, because some of us are talking about sustainability and DLC and stuff like that. So to stay tuned for that. But other than that, this has been great. It's still a pretty meaty episode. So a lot for our listeners to get into. So with that, I guess David, take us away.
That's it, guys. So I'd like to take a final moment again to give a shout out to our patrons. Thank you guys very much for your support. It makes this show so much easier to do. So again, that's patreon.com/HaloPodcastEvolved. If you want to learn more, we got all our other shows going on, all our people. Shout out to Joss and Will for the work they do on our behalf. I say on our behalf, it just means that I don't have to pay attention to the Halo competitive scene, because those guys are doing it and they're nailing it way more than we ever could. So thank you very much. And what else do I gotta say? That's kind of it. 2021, been a good year. Not my personal favorite year for Halo, but it's pretty damn good. We're getting Halo Infinite, so I suppose I can't really complain all that much. I have been your host today, David, and Evolve.